They stayed up all night drinking Jolt Colas and eating whatever brand pizza. They do these weird call-outs sometimes where it's like, look at me. I'm in the industry. We're part of the community. I'm using keywords that are clearly to denote this.
I understand that. You say make it chooch?
Yes.
Like choo-choo train?
Like a reference to to what's his name?
This is like a 5-star hotel.
I know, right? This is the best fucking Uber you'll ever not pay for. Highball gave us money.
I did this slow crawl of can openings. Oh god, no!
Okay. You got like a shitload of cars in front of your house.
Yeah, because when Aaron's friend is here for the weekend.
Okay, I was like, there's nowhere for me to park. Okay, Tit Talk, everybody. We are recording, right?
I'm Kyle Parker, Nathalius Hagen.
That's not your name.
That's not my name.
Did you get...
That's not my name.
Were you baptized with that name?
Not my name. That's not my name.
Is that your Catholic other name?
It's my slave name.
Okay. Oh.
I was not baptized. I'm a heathen.
I'm just saying, like... It's the Catholics that I was trying out extra names that you don't know about. You're like, God, where'd that one come from? So, for anyone who is curious as to what prompted the immediate recording, I have built a rig to hold the recording device. I'm, of course, abnormally proud of it.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, it's got this metal arm attached to a wooden leg arm.
So, I had some scrap lumber because once you get enough projects in, you just have shitloads of scrap lumber lying around, right? Like, all the time. Oh, first of all, they were paving on the way up. So I may have just hauled ass through some, construction zones where their guy's, like, waving the slow sign at me and I'm just flipping him the finger.
Because you're excited to show me?
No, because I was worried I'd be late.
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
And we left on time.
Is it gonna get better to say that Shell canceled the meeting?
I didn't sleep.
Did really?
Well, not much.
Neither did I. So, this is going to be a great 6 o'clock today. But
so
this
anyway, scrap lumber.
Scrap lumber is a thing.
And I just eyeballed it, cut up a piece, and then put it in place and screwed it down. It's not screwed into my car. I'm not that committed.
Sacrifice for success.
But the way it's connected with the leg back there is it's... I mean, it's on the back of it, and then it's clamped down, so it leans forward onto the legs. So it can be removed quite easily. People could sit in the back seat, but the middle back seat would probably be a bit shitty right now.
It is called bitch for a reason.
I mean, sure.
Was that, like, a bus, or?
It must have been.
Is zombie apocalypse starting today?
Probably.
That's what it is.
I didn't bring any stuff.
Damn. Well, we have this new rig that we can use to kill zombies. Splits into two parts, right? Like, so we'd have two weapons instead of one?
Sure. Anything splits into two parts if you try hard enough.
But anyway, it's pretty cool. And it requires us not to, like, hit it. Or
I think it'll have a better recording quality, too, because it's a little closer to our mouths. So we might be able to get better levels. Do the levels look all right when I'm talking? I feel like they should be a little bit better, like a little higher, but...
They're not really hitting the mark right now.
Okay.
I didn't check the input.
Okay. Get interesting. Kendrick will have to do some dynamic adjustment going forward.
Don't worry about it, man. It's Friday.
No.
It's the day of SitSock recording. So
it's a good day.
Did you had mild success? So Kendrick does, if you didn't know, Kendrick does this thing called RMGFA.
It's true.
God damn it, now I can't remember what the acronym is. No, wait.
RMSG.
Damn it! Why did you say it? I was going to get there.
You were waiting.
I was like, R-M, R-M-A, R-M-A-A, R-M-A. That's what they tell you. So, like, when you're giving, they, like, one of the most given pieces of advice for people who do demos and presentations is to pause and count 5 seconds. And it is the most awkward thing you can do. Like, I'm going to do that right now on the thing. So, I'm not going to talk for 5 seconds, and you're going to see how it works. There you go.
That is horrifying.
And it's so you can make your point. Like, so when you say, this is the best product you'll ever get.
That is quite possibly the worst piece of advice I've ever heard in my life. Because speaking of someone who's been on the receiving side of demos, That's like the most awkward fucking thing you can do.
It makes people feel uncomfortable, which makes them remember what you said, because you're like, wow, that guy. And that, so there's this whole mentality around it doesn't matter how they remember you, it just matters that they do. And there's this whole thing where we had this discussion internally where should we get socks? And the idea was you should. Well, some people said you should because it doesn't matter if you're how your brand's out there, but it matters like how your brand's out there, right? So it's more about like recognition within the like competitive realm. So you say, oh, gave me socks. I've never heard of BitTorrent before.
Have we mentioned the company before?
I don't care.
We're supposed to have that on there.
Socks. So
I'll warble it afterwards.
Blank socks. But the other person was like, why would you ever give out socks? Because nobody can see them. Because they're always on your feet, underneath jeans, and if you're, blah, blah, blah. It's like, but, this is kind of those two, look at, it says Cums R Us.
Ha!
The stupid assholes.
Ha! Because it was vacuums, but now it's jizz. Go on.
But anyway, it was interesting conversation, because it's the same thing where, like, if you pause, people will be like, this is either really awkward, or, oh, let me think about that point real quick.
I would suggest that these people have never actually been in a product demo in their lives.
You'd be wrong. You'd be really wrong.
Like on the other end of a product demo.
That's the thing that I feel so weird. It's so, yeah. We don't have to talk about the philosophical and psychological.
I've got to take a moment here because
aspects of presentation.
Speaking to someone who's been on product demos, the people who are half paying attention or are even engaged, when you stop, whatever you just said is gone. Because they're like, why did he stop? You're not driving a point home. You're just bewildering somebody who's like, wait, why did he? What happened? They're not going to remember whatever you stopped before. Now, if you pause and then say something.
No, that's what I mean. You don't pause forever.
No, you always, but are you pausing after or before you say the important thing?
It depends on what you're trying to hit home, you know? If you can pause to get their attention and then say something, or you can, if they're engaging with you, pause to let them think about something, right? So there's tactics either way. If someone's engaging with you, you pause because they need to think.
This is the reason we're not getting very many sales.
I it's like, it's funny because you say that, but like every, there's like this whole like, I don't know what the word is, cult of people, cult presentation cult.
These guys have worked this system into a point where it no longer resembles reality or is associated with reality.
Which is why I have such a big problem with, like, understanding how marketing... Whoa, there you go.
That's fine.
How marketing works. That's good. That's fine. This is fine. Because if... this is not necessarily true, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but if you understand marketing at all, does it work on you? I don't think it does, because I sit there and I notice things that annoy me instead of notice things that make me want to buy your product. But then there's one school of thought that says, oh, you're annoyed at the product, which means you'll remember what it is.
But here's the problem, is if you need to not know how marketing works to sell it, and we're selling to people who are specifically salespeople.
No, I get what you're saying.
Then there's an underlying just saying, fundamental.
Is that actually a thing? Like, is it a thing where if you understand how marketing works, understand how selling works in presentations, that you are less affected by their...
I think it's a little more nuanced. I think the problem is not that once you understand it, you're not affected by it. It's that once you're paying attention to certain characteristics, those things are less effective, but most people aren't paying attention to them at most times, right?
Yeah.
But I think more than anything else, this one?
Yeah, far left.
The danger...
Oh, but this guy's coming
that's
too.
That's fine. Just put your car anywhere. Hey, you put your car anywhere. Great. I think the danger with a lot of these things is when you start building up these massive systems of, like, techniques and technologies and ideas and methods...
Like writing a resume.
Without any feedback
loop.
Because all these things you're saying, I mean, who tested that this 5-second pause does a thing?
It's all sales tactics are based off of psychology study stuff. Like, right. So they do a study about who is more likely to buy something when they run this campaign.
Right.
And that's how they get this.
I'm saying with these sorts of things is, who confirmed this? Who did a bunch of demos with the pause, a bunch of demos without the pause, and then compared the effectiveness of
it? Might not be like that. It might be something where it's translated from what we've seen this work in multiple different areas, and
assuming it works here.
Yeah, because it's for all intent and purpose, I got made fun of the other day for saying intents and purpose, because I don't care about things.
I've heard it called intents and purposes.
Well, I said intense, like, oh, you're so intense. So, like, yeah, anyway.
We'll return to that.
Yes. It is, like, the same for what you need to do it for.
But again, and that's a massive assumption.
I don't like that either. I'm just trying to
play devil's advocate. I know, but I mean, it's the thing where it's like, we're going to be scientific and then make a shitload of assumptions and never test those.
Isn't that what, like, any, like, for lack of a better term, soft science is doing? Or well, any science, really?
I think it's a lack of transparency around that project.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
I don't know.
I'm sure you'll do that
later.
All
I can say is that, speaking to someone who's had demos pitched to me, that much null time is, like, mostly it just sounds like you have no idea what you're talking about and you're trying to get your shit together.
Well,
like,
to be fair,
like, you've gone on mute and you're, like, shuffling through
papers. A lot of these things are to make you sound far more intelligent and more insightful and things like that.
Which, I get the reasoning. I'm just saying that that particular... And there have been things you've mentioned that have made sense to me, but that particular thing makes... Sounds to me like the exact opposite result.
It can also be a small tactic to help you, and this is how I use it, to slow down, because I talk really, really fast.
I can see that purpose.
And so I sometimes say, like, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So, like, what do you think about that?
That was like a two-second pause.
Yeah, because I can't wait that long. But
no,
because
that's what I mean. It's like a two-second pause. I'm not saying you need to fill every possible second with noise, aside from the fact that I do that in SitSop. In a selling concept, you do need to have pauses to get people to ask questions, mm-hmm. to give them a second to digest. But a full five count is just like, did you forget how to sell? Did you forget what you were saying?
At one point, I heard someone say eight, and I was like, fuck that shit.
That's completely asinine.
That's like, it's like you've wasted half an hour of my time.
Those people must be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, and we're back.
Like, and they like count out loud on the phone. They're like, What did you just say? Did you just count to eight? Why did you do that?
I feel like those people don't understand what 8 seconds is.
Yeah. That's fair. So, I'm thinking that I'm stopping what we're talking about now, because
that's good.
Thought about an interesting thing.
Because I spent most of last night bitching about a certain high-level sales guy in an organization, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, like, to
the guys you're gaming with, the gaming crew.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Heroes, not
on
at
Heroes.
Magic, okay.
Yeah, not at Magic. No. I'm sure I could get some traction there, but not enough. It'd be too far.
So... I was thinking that we could do a kind of an interesting segment where we're talking about what audiobooks we're listening to.
Okay.
Because we both tend to listen to audiobooks when we're not recording podcasts.
Yeah, I'm
listening
to one for work right now.
So, I want to start kind of picking up these segments again.
Jump in.
It sounds like we have two.
Kyle's audiobooks.
We have, it's Aura.
Kyle's audiobooks.
Okie dokie.
That's weirdly aggressive how I said your name. Kyle's audiobooks.
Oh, God. We have Eventing, which we will start doing again, and then whatever
everyone
this segment is called. Everyone, make sure everybody has Zimas.
No. I just edited the one with the kid, AJ, that was just busting in. And by the way, I did not edit out nearly as much as I said I was going to.
Is it actually, like, what is it like?
It's a hot mess. It's a complete garbage recording. Okay. But I did it anyway, and I definitely fucked with his voice when he said it.
Didn't he say, like, kill them all or something?
No,
like
he
that?
Said all of you will die.
All of you will die.
Is it a good ringtone? And so I went and fucked with that.
Okay.
So I've got that as a ringtone. So
right now... I'm listening to Stephen King's It in order and trying to finish it by today, but it's not going to happen because I have 27 hours left. Unless I get like a time turner from Harry Potter and I can just like constantly replay it.
That'd probably fuck up the sink. On Audible.
Yeah, you're right, because you'd be like, your last Audible thing said, yeah, you'd have to find out every time. So before you time turnered, you'd have to do it because it would be at the what you did. Okay, anyway, time travel aside, it's a pretty crazy book. I think definitely after watching the movie, It is... very interesting, and it gives you a lot more depth of character, which I tend to find sometimes is a little bit annoying, but there's so many things that I'm realizing now that they glossed over that are super important to like why the kids are doing the things they're doing and why they're acting the way they are and the decisions that they made that seem seemingly random in the original movie, that you're like, holy shit, like this is a whole arc in the story where they cover why this character would make this decision about themselves instead of like shoving it into a 2-second like thing. And so it's a long ass book. It's like Game of Thrones long.
Oh, it's huge. I didn't realize that until Kate like picked it up and I was like, fuck,
it's 50 hour audiobook almost.
That is, I mean, it's Stephen King,
and like I would say some of the parts are like Tolkien-esque, but a lot of it kind of comes back around to being really important, and it's a horror novel, so it kind of is a suspense build type of thing where you're like waiting for something terrible to happen, and then something other terrible happens, and then it comes back to the terrible thing you thought was going to happen, and you're holy shit, I guess the tension
level is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, so like unlike like the Silmarillion or something, where you're literally reading for backstory that's really confusing because it's like the Bible.
Silmarillion is not.
It's really good when you get past the like the first two chapters.
But Silmarillion is still like a ancient saga kind of thing. Like
yeah, and so you're reading it for different reasons. There's not as much like true build the
tension. Why were you suggesting that the reader has some responsibility in how they should consume the media?
Yes. I'm 100% saying
that. I know, we had
But yeah, so if you have a chance to check out it, or you have Audible credit, I think it's definitely a really good book if you're into it. The clown stuff is kind of central, but there's a lot of different things that the monster becomes, so it's not just clowns, but its main form is a clown. So if you do have clown issues, then you might get triggered.
I don't want to read that book.
I wish we had the video now, because you could just zoom in on my face and be like, triggered.
Doggered.
Okay, but it's really good. I think you should listen to it if you're interested at all. Yeah, right. So, Kendrick, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to The Phoenix Project at the recommendation of my boss, who apparently hasn't actually finished it yet. So I think I'm ahead of him now, which is hilarious. But it is a novel. Apparently it's based on an older novel, but it's about a DevOps and IT like meltdown. And it's this somewhat fictitious, but extremely and uncomfortably relatable.
That's like why I was mentioning story. Triggered stuff earlier, because like it sounds like there's a lot of similarities.
And it's about a guy who's like a mid-level manager, and he kind of has a team, and he runs a tight ship, and he knows what he's doing. And then the two people above him in his department get shit canned out of nowhere, and he gets pulled up to become a VP.
Oh wow!
And he doesn't really want to, but the CEO talks him into it. And then he immediately gets put under, like, all the fire because there's a project that's like, 6 months behind schedule because of everybody, but they're blaming IT. They have some massive outage of, like, salaried or hourly worker information is missing, so there's no paycheck data to give people money. Like, payroll's all fucked up and all these things. And everything is Sev 1, so it's Severity 1 for anyone listening at home. Everything is, like...
Is that everybody? Oh, I guess not. Maybe not. Future podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it is a, it's like, oh dear, this is our lives. It's a good book.
So it's called The Phoenix Project?
It's called The Phoenix Project. Okay. I'll put it this way. It's a good book if you're in the field. I would say the writing is a little crunchy.
What does that mean?
Okay, what was one of the lines I read before? It was like, they stayed up all night drinking Jolt Colas. And eating whatever brand pizza, like they do these weird call-outs sometimes where it's like, look at me, I'm in the industry, we're part of the community, I'm using keywords that are clearly to denote this.
They're understand that.
It's not like bad, but there's a couple of cringy moments where you're like, you didn't need to say, like someone mentions how they referenced Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Pulp Fiction. Because but then he's like. He names actors. Like, he names all the actors. Like, that movie with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so where he says the line, la 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 la.
It's almost like you're name-dropping just so people can relate to your book and you don't really have to write hard or something.
It's one of those things where it feels like you're not actually a member of the community, but you're trying so hard to be in the community, you know?
Sure.
And I don't want to be, like, gatekeeping about it, but it's one of those things where every now and then it's just, like, a little bit of these.
Well, it's the same thing that we were talking about. So, like, there's that, like, I'm jokingly referenced resumes earlier when we were talking about like self-indulgent processes that are like so into themselves that are not actually touching the real world.
All up inside their own buttholes.
Yeah. And resumes are kind of like that, or getting hired for a job is kind of like that, because all like the first filter of any job resume scanner is like which keywords you hit. So like people are kind of, if you have to apply for jobs a lot or something like that, you're predisposed to like interact with community by throwing words that people understand.
And you get word salad in there because you're trying to hit as many keywords as possible.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's not a far cry to think it would apply to, writing in general.
Well, no, and it's one of those things where it's not bad, but it's definitely a little pedantic.
Is that right?
No, it's a little.
What does pedantic mean?
I'm pedantic.
I guess it's a little bit...
It's, like, detail-oriented. In this one, it's a little bit hackneyed. Okay. Like, it's a little what bit contrived.
Oh, contrived. Contrived.
How about contrived? Like, some of the attempts to be hip and cool are, like, a little contrived.
I was thinking it was, like, pandering. Like
a little bit pandering. Okay. I could say pandering, yeah. It's not like, oh, my God, this book is terrible for it. It's just a couple spots where it pulled me out of the book a little bit, where you're like, guys, stop doing that.
That and was, yeah.
The weird combination of explaining what terms mean and then just blowing through and using other terms, you're like, I don't, okay. Who is the audience of this book? I'm pretty sure the audience of the book is DevOps and IT guys.
Because you're sitting there as someone who you think of that audience, and then they're like saying things to you, and you're like, why would you say that to this audience?
And that's the stuff that...
That's kind of what I felt about the Star Wars Aftermath, the first book in that series. It's like post Death Star blowing, second Death Star blowing up. And they just drop a lot of names for some reason.
Yeah, you're like,
they're like,
why?
That time I was with Chewie on Hoth. And you're like, you would have never been there. Like,
yeah, why would someone... Yeah, and you why would you say that that way?
Or like the size of an Ewok spear. I'm like, you're on the fucking Outer Rim. How would you even know like that is? But...
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing where it's not like a deal breaker, but it's a definite like.
I am too fat for this seatbelt.
It's fine. It's a definite moment of like, why you do this?
So,
but
I do
wanna... recommend it if you want to have if you want to be able to put yourself in the experience of a normal human being put under the really unfair pressures of this world, because we are reminded, like we get shit for being white collar. Or whatever the hell collar. Pink collar is apparently a thing now.
Pink collar?
Yeah, it's another... That's a podcast from today. But, you know, like, blue-collar workers, they physically exert themselves. They get tired. They get injured. They, you know, whatever. White-collar, we're just like, nope, no, we sit at a desk. Oh, my God, my injury is a wrist thing from typing too much. But there's...
severe mental trauma is your injury.
Well, there's this thing where they talk about how a rollout goes wrong, and he's at the office all weekend, like, sleeping at his desk at the office... for 72 hours, and like how that shit is not uncommon, and how like, I mean, that happens, and mm-hmm. That's the thing that like, it's nice to have a book that could kind of cover that stuff. So someone's like, well, DevOps isn't so hard, IT's not so hard, why you get developers wanting so much? Now again, this is not friendly to developers, this is actually openly antagonistic to developers, so it's really targeted at like a DevOps thing. But if you want to have a feel for what it's like, the Phoenix Project, at least so far, I'm only halfway through, is a fantastic experience, because you're just, all of the shit just keeps funneling on and none of it seems to get done. And your team's too busy addressing new terrible panicking moments to ever get around to the things that you planned.
That you really like wanted. The only thing that like the CEO probably said he was excited to do or convinced him to do. Or...
Well, there's the thing the CEO wanted to do, and then there's all the other fires, and then there's the things you've been planning for the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And what the CEO is interested in isn't what was been planning for six months.
Well, I imagine the position of the CEO at some point was, come do this thing and revolutionize how we do this, or work on this project that you've always wanted to work on that I think is important, that we both think
there
is important.
There is an actual eponymous Project Phoenix in the book, and it's a massive fuck up. they rush it, they push it up before it's done, and it disables point of sale systems for like 24 hours. And I mean, kills them. They're doing hand transactions.
That seems brutal.
Across, it's a national chain of retail stores. So imagine you go into like Napa, because it's like an auto parts store, Napa or O'Reilly or whatever, and they're doing everything by hand. I don't know, I mean, those guys lean on their computers, like they live on those things to get parts and information and stuff. These guys are doing all their point of sale work by hand.
That would be crazy.
And that's, yeah, and it's IT's fault, even though it was a dev that fucked it up, and they rushed the schedule. And no one consulted IT. It's just a colossal breakdown of all of the things. So the guy's trying to put systems in place, and the CEO is like, we don't have time for systems. You got to get shit working. And you're like, that's what the systems are for.
It sounds like it hits really close to home.
It hits painfully close to home. So, all right, we got to get to work.
Well, so, I want to say one more thing about
it.
Well,
you're the one who's got to get to work. I don't do anything. I just fuck around with IT.
I told you that meeting literally got canceled. It was not a joke. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And so, I was like, it's too late. Wheels are already in motion. Like, I can't.
When did it get canceled?
This morning at 4:30 in the morning.
Okay, yeah, we wouldn't.
That's why I was like, wheels are in motion.
That's fine.
We have to keep doing this.
That's fine.
If you are reading it, and sorry to like, just kind of try to one-up or whatever this sounds like, be careful about the verbiage. No, I won't. It's not spoilers. Like, I've never heard the N-word so much, and it's really interesting because Steven Weber's narrating it, like, it's set in the 50s and before that, and then the 80s. So, like, these are terms that, like, this bumpkin town in Maine is using the whole time. And there's, like terms like Jewish derogatory terms as well. So, like, I mean, the way he wrote it was very, like, period specific. So, like, you felt like you're kind of in that period where you're reading because you're, like, hitting these words. And if you trigger easy or something, like...
I feel like Stephen King likes to play that game.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think he's, like, like racist, necessarily. I don't know him well enough to do that. But I think he likes to set up scenarios where he can use naughty words you're not supposed to be able to use. Like, oh, yeah, no. Like, in the fucking Dark Tower. Like, nope, she's from a time frame. That's what happens. That's, they say those words. I can use them now. And you're like, you little fucking rule fucking
monkey. And then it puts, like, the audiobook readers in, like, really interesting scenarios. Because, like, nobody, even if you are, like, of that, you know, racial... predisposition, I guess, is not the right way to say it, but I said it anyway, and now I'm committing, is the, like, you kind of feel uncomfortable saying it that much for the reasons they're saying it, because it's not like you're using it as a kind of term to, like, relate to your friends or whatever.
No, it's a derogatory, like...
It's constantly derogatory, because everybody that's saying it is, like, the new KKK that's only existing in this kind of Maine, or, like, someone who's viewing themselves through the eyes of other people who think that they hate Jews or something like that, and
wow.
So... It's really interesting, okay. And puts them in weird scenarios, and it definitely makes you... It's, like, Stephen King's writing is so crazy on multiple levels, because you're like, it's horror. And then you're like, oh, man, he's describing that scenario, and it's scary. And there's the uncomfortableness you feel when all the characters are there. And
his ability to maintain tension with written word is pretty impressive.
It is. It's really good. So I've always thought Stephen King was, like, my mom's horror, and it wasn't, like, what I was looking for.
Right, right. Yeah.
But it's definitely, like, it's... No, I would say it's a progression. Like, you have, like... Lovecraft and Poe and all those people who wrote early, and then
inspired.
Like Stephen King, I don't think he's the next one, but in the line, if you look
clearly,
at stories,
he's clearly,
he's like,
the next phase, like yeah. the inspiration. He was inspired by Lovecraft and extended and built on top of them.
Where it's not just like
standing on the shoulders of freaks.
Yeah, overly blatant like murder scenes. It's like purposeful nuance and yes, things. But be careful of that, because if you get you know, we're going to review these books like we like them, but if you were not normal people,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, for the record, I can't read that book. I can't.
He doesn't like the N-word that much. Oh, no, it's the clown thing.
It's the Jew thing.
Is it?
No. It's the horror. It's the tension. I can't do that. I won't be able to sleep.
So...
Or rather, I will sleep and I'll wake up. Remember those dreams you were telling me about?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be that every night, but clown themed.
That'd be terrible.
And yeah, because like when you told me that, when you wake up and you're like a little disoriented still... That's when I dream like that. That's what I get. And I used to get those all the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Mostly, but I'm just drunk all the time.
But
now,
be careful, because you like it almost puts you in a mindset of like thinking those words are okay to use because you hear them so much. Like this morning, I was thinking something, and like for some, you know, like a word gets stuck in your head. It's yes. Like if you like what happens when I just said like a billion times.
Sorry. Like.
When you
like
hear somebody say something and you're like, oh, that's catchy, or like, oh, they're everybody's using that, I better use that, and you're sitting there like,
that's not a word I should use.
Like it's in your head and it's like rolling through, and you're that's good, and you're like thinking that it'll be okay to say, and then you maybe say it out loud when you're like in your room by yourself and you're like, whoa,
oh wow, no,
okay,
that is not a word,
not
I
allowed
use.
So you might get in that mindset.
So yeah, this was a rambly one, but I guess book review.
No, I mean, we just almost hit the normal time.
No, not lengthwise, but I mean, what the hell did we start with?
We started with talking about 5-second pauses.
And I was going to talk about magic.
We can talk about that on the way, on the next podcast. I winked at Kendrick and he snapped his jaws at me like an alligator or some type of...
It's a sign of endearment.
Okay. All right, that term of endearment, that's what I was thinking when I was thinking earlier, referring to your friends, like, with N-word or, like, calling your... other buddies some derogatory
term. What's funny is that pops up with people of African descent in their terms of derogatory, but not so much with the Jewish descent in their derogatory terms.
Mm. Yeah, right.
You don't see a lot of Jewish folks rolling up and being like, what up, my...
Or maybe, yeah.
Like, no. It's like, that doesn't
taking
happen.
But yeah, I would, like...
I wonder why.
I just think every time we're talking about this, I think of that article I sent you yesterday. Did you finish it?
Okay. I was reading too much technical stuff, but I was skimming it, and I'm like, okay. Could you just say the title? Because I don't want to talk, I don't want to judge anything, I don't want to say anything about it, I want to say the title, and I want to finish the podcast.
Okay. The title of this article I read the other day was black males are the white people.
Straight black
males. Straight black males are the white people of black people.
And we're going to leave you with that.
You can Google that and you'll find it.
You'll find it. And it's a strangely cogent.
Yeah, it's an interesting article.
All right.
Bye, everybody. Up, everybody. You know, like subscribe, all that subscribe. Shit.
Please buy shit. We like shit.
Yeah.
And we out.
We out.